All right, so this is Cutie and Lavender back at you, and I'm finally gonna get around to answering the Q&A that I put out 4 days ago because I couldn't sleep, and then of course after I put it out, I went to sleep. But that was like 4 in the morning, I think. I don't know. My sleep has been pretty bad, but here we go, and I think I'm gonna answer them in order of what was asked first, I guess. Let's see. Okay. Question number one. Papa Bona. Where you get your Reddit name from? Lavender, your fave color. I know it's two questions, sorry. No, don't worry about that. Where did I get my Reddit name from? I don't know. I think I just thought of something generic. Like, lavender is, one of my favorite colors. I don't know about the favorite, but it's pretty close, I would say, probably. Hold on, I just feel like, hold on. Okay, I am not, okay. I'm not alone in the apartment right now, and the other person was watching TV, and then I heard the TV mute, and that's making me a bit self-conscious that they're listening into what I'm saying, so I had to hide under the blanket because I don't know, I guess that's gonna muffle things, but okay. So, where did I get my Reddit name from? I think it was pretty generic. I think I just picked something that I thought, this sounds like a name that a porn poster girl would write, I guess. Cutie, I don't know if I am. I mean, people tell me that I am, so I guess that's why I put it. And then in lavender, because I don't know, I guess I assumed I would be wearing lavender, but I wasn't wearing it at the time. I don't know. And I guess to answer if it's my favorite color, it's either my first or second. I would say my top three are teal, lavender, and black, I guess. But thank you for the question. El Nicoya. How old were you the first time you had sex? I was 18 years old, and it was not a fun memory. It was pretty bad. And then you asked another question, and I'm so happy you clarified it because I was so ready to pee. I was pretty. Well, okay, so the question is also, where are you from? And I was upset when I first read it because I'm like, bro, I said in my post I'm not going to talk about where I'm from. And you can see I responded with that, but then you clarified, I'm not saying where you live, I understand that, but like, where were you born, or if you have a mixed background. So, where I was born, I was born here in America, United States, and if I have a mixed background, yes, within my culture. I mean, anybody else who looks at me is gonna be like, oh, you're Spanish, but my mixed background is I am Puerto Rican and I am Ecuadorian. So, I am fully Latina, despite what people might think or say, but yeah, I'm, yeah, 100% Latina. I think on my mom's side I'm third generation, and my dad's side I'm second generation. It all comes down to who, like, when your family migrated here to the US, and then from there. So, like, my grandparents on my dad's side, born in Ecuador, and then my mom's side, my great grandparents, I believe, were from Puerto Rico and then came here. I don't know. You know how Sir Likes It asks, what's your favorite thing about posting on here and what made you drawn to it? I think my favorite thing about posting on here, I can't, I gotta get out, it's too hot. I think my favorite thing about posting on here is the interaction with the community. I have been able to speak to really great people, and I've befriended some, very welcoming, and I like that when I'm having a bad day and I post on here, that there's no shortage of people running to, like, make me feel better and help me out and get me through rough times. It's very supportive. And what made me drawn to posting on here was just, like, when I started posting, I had really bad self-confidence, and even now, to a certain extent, I have poor self-esteem. And I figured, like, I already had people who liked my audios, and I thought, well, if they know me from there and I've interacted with some people in the community, maybe they'll like my pictures as well. You know, maybe they'll like me if they knew a bit more of the real me. And so far that has been the case, and I'm really happy for it. What's the DMatter832 asks, what's the dumbest slash funniest sexual encounter you had? Oh my god. I remember it clearly. Oh my god. Okay, so I swear to you, I thought this guy was like in the closet, like gay secretly, and was forcing himself to sleep with a woman. Maybe that wasn't the case. Maybe that's just pure speculation, but I seriously thought that that was the case. And I had gone to a party. I'm like, how do I describe this without giving away where I live? So I'd gone to a party, and like I had been talking to this guy on Tinder, and just spur of the moment at the end of this party at like midnight, this guy was like, oh, do you want to meet up? And then I look at where he lives, he tells me, and he lives like the equivalent of super fucking far across town. I don't live in a town, but you know, just saying. And I'm like, okay, sure. So I take a train. So I had to take, like, I think a total of like two or three trains, and the last train I took was like all the way to the last stop. And then I go to see him and we get high, and then he tells me, oh, I have a cat, so you know. I'm like, oh, I'm allergic to cats, but okay. So, you know, we get high, we go to his bed and we're watching South Park on his laptop, and then just randomly out of nowhere. Oh, I remember like I had the feeling like I was gonna burp, and I remember like holding my, like doing, like trying to like suppress the burp, and it was just so uncomfortable and awkward. But like randomly he just like got on top of me and made out with me, and then pulled me on top of him and was just like immediately just like put his hand in my pants and fingered me, and I was like, this is so awkward, I'm not even wet, like this is so, what the fuck. He got naked. He didn't get me naked though. Like I still had my sweater and bra on. Like he just took off my pants and panties and then just went for it. I do remember though, he looked at my panties. My panties were not looking so good because, you know, I wasn't planning to get fucked. If I was, I would have put more effort. And also, I hadn't showered because I'm like, I'll shower the next day, like when I get up after this fucking party. So I was pretty much disgusting. And I think he was noticing that, and but he still went for it. He stuck his dick in. It hurt because I wasn't fully wet, and he lasted like a few minutes. And then I told him, "Yeah, you could come inside." He comes, and like I remember, my pussy was hurting so bad it burned. And then like he just rolled off, and was like, "Yeah, you can sleep over the night if you want." And I'm like, "I should probably go home." So I got my stuff. My phone was almost dead, so I had to. I used an outlet that was in his building's lobby, to charge my phone for a bit. I remember taking some pictures of myself, just really out of it. I looked like a paparazzi picture. It was so bad. And then I go home, and like I had to go home at like 2 a.m. and I'm high, I'm disoriented, like holding leftover food from the party. I had to make the travel. From the last stop on this train, I had to travel into the city, and then I had to transfer to another train to come back up, like farther than where this guy's place was. It was to almost the last, because I live like almost on the last stop of this other train. I'm like, whew, it was not fun. And then later, I try to reach out to him, and he was not, like he ghosted me, and I'm just like, oh, okay. Number two, for your other question, what physical aspect of the male and female body turns you on the most? I would say for the male, I feel bad. I like tall guys. It sounds bad for But it's just like I'm short as well. I'm 5 feet. It's not gonna do us well if we're both short. I've been with a guy who was short, and he turned out to he was like really fucking like abusive. But like, it was just really uncomfortable, and I much preferred taller guys, you know. So I guess for men, height is something that turns me on. Just a tall guy. And for women, what turns me on the most, I would say the women's. For women, I guess just like overall shape. Like if a girl's like curvy or like slim thick or whatever, like just looks aesthetically pleasing, I guess. And is a bit, I guess, taller than me. Those are things that turn me on the most. That's a good question. All right, next one. Throwaway 96890. Sloppy or sensual blowjob? Both, I say. What do you think about deep throat gagging and face fucking? Wow, this is probably the most vulgar question out of all these. Sloppy or sensual? I guess like in the middle. Like it depends on. It really depends on the mood, right? Like. If I sound so fucking okay, get out the blanket again because I'm so scattered right now. It depends on the mood because, like, if it's like something sweet, you know, we're doing something for like Valentine's Day, let's say, you know, you would want it to be more slow and soft, but if it's just like a quickie, like, you know, we're just running into it, then I would guess more sloppy, or just whatever's gonna get the job done, better. There's sometimes where I hook up with someone and I don't really like it and I want it to end quick, so I give them head and I do it sloppy because then they finish and we don't have to hook up anymore, even though that sounds sad. And what do I think about deep throat gagging and face fucking? I'm into it as long as the person understands that, you know. It's like a rough thing, but also to be gentle with it because if I'm choking and like vomiting, I've actually almost thrown up on somebody, because they didn't slow down and they did this after we had dinner. Like, what do you expect? But as long as I trust the person, and they know how far to take it, then yeah, I'm a fan of it. It's fine. I like it in certain porn. I don't like it when it's like friggin' leftover Cheerios and stuff all over the girl's face, because that's ugly. I don't like seeing snot coming out, but you know, it has a time and place. Then my final set of questions comes from DMatter832 as well, who says, "Well, I'm very disappointed with the amount type of questions on this post so far, so I'm gonna add more. Number one, what was the last movie you saw?" Last movie I saw, I don't know. I saw the Oscars recently, and some of those movies I saw. I want to say Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse because I've seen it twice in theaters. But oh no, Black Panther. Black Panther was, I think, the last movie I saw because they re-released it, and I saw it with my boyfriend. Because he had never seen it, I had the chance to see it at some point, and unfortunately, I had to leave the theater early. But yeah, I think that might have been the last movie I saw, unless I saw one at home. I do have Netflix, and I can't really think of anything on Netflix I saw since then. Two, has any movie made you cry? If yes, tell us about that. If not, what movie had a massive emotional impact on you? Crying, I'm sure there has been. I just can't think of anything off the top of my head that made me cry. Hold on, I need a water break. That made me cry. I can't think of one. Movies that have had a massive emotional impact on me. I guess The Boy in Striped Pajamas, because it's just really depressing. I would say probably some kids' movies that have done that. Just nothing off the top of my head. I guess the answer is gonna be Boy in Striped Pajamas. Three. Which fictional character do you want to fuck the most and why? Okay, so my husbandos and waifus are always changing. It just depends on like what game I play. If I pick up a game for the first time, or I watch gameplay or something, and I'm like, ooh, this character. For a while, you guys might have known it was Connor from Detroit Become Human. I think a lot of people in the fandom wanted to, just because of like how, well, first and foremost, the whole game advertises like androids know what humans want the best, and they're going to be the best in bed. Also because I think his character is, there's something intriguing to a character who's like fish out of water, like kind of learning things. Like you can easily swap androids in the game for aliens, like aliens are learning more about humans, and they think based on research and what they've been programmed to know that they know everything, but then by actually interacting with us they learn, oh, humans are different than we thought, or that we were taught to think, they can be better or worse than we expected them to be, He's very cute, I guess. I don't know. Another character is Bigby Wolf from The Wolf Among Us, because he's very like masculine and tall and hairy, and it's very attractive. And he's one of those characters that he wants to do what's best for everybody. It's just that the stuff that is the best for everybody is not the most popular, like, choice, and it's not the most easiest choice, but it has to be done. He's a good guy. Also, the fact that he can lose control is very attractive. Four, what do you love drawing the most? I love drawing people, characters I make up, I was working on a comic for a while. I didn't do anything with it, but I had the most fun planning out their story and drawing out what they would look like and what planets they were from. It was, I would say character building and character design is like my favorite thing to draw. Other than that, I guess creatures. Like, take a cat, but give it antlers and give it three eyes, things like that. And aliens, because aliens can be whatever you want them to be, honestly. Five, any tips, suggestions for people who are completely new to drawing? Yes. My tips are practice as much as you can, draw as much as you can. You're not gonna learn or get any better if you just draw once and then I did my part, I'm not good, and then just never touch it again. Like, you actually need to, it's a skill you can tune. Like anything else, like learning how to play an instrument, like you need to practice, because if you don't, you get rusty, and you're never gonna learn. I would say don't focus on the tools. I think a lot of new artists get into that mindset where it's like, I gotta have the best 5-star rated, most expensive tools, I gotta have every Copic marker and all that. Like, you don't. Like, you're gonna. Fuck, I just spilled water on my blanket. You're gonna find that you're just wasting money. Like, especially if, like, you're new to it, you're certainly gonna, like, waste money on it. When you're. Like, I feel like expensive materials should be saved for, like, a piece you're doing. Like, if you're doing. Like, a. If you're doing a picture that you're gonna be. Printing, like if you open up a shop, right, and you're like, I'm gonna do a picture of this girl with sunflowers and I'm gonna be reprinting it so that people could buy them. I feel like pictures like that is what you should be putting your money into, maybe getting some gold paint, investing in certain types of markers and watercolors. If you're learning, just starting out and practicing, you're gonna be going through pencils and erasers. That kind of stuff more. Charcoal. And for that stuff, you kind of want to use the cheaper stuff. Because the cheap, it's. You're doing these things to help practice and learn. Like, if, for example, if, I go. Like, if I. Okay, so if I go to school and I'm in a lecture taking class. If I'm in a note taking class and the teacher, the lectures, it's like long, it's like a 3-hour class or something. Why would I spend
like $10, right, on a single pen, fancy, maybe has my name engraved on it, but it's only gonna last like a month. Whereas I could buy a cheap pack of Bic pens, a pack of let's say 20 for $5, that's gonna last me more. I'm like, it's just, expensive is not always better, is what I'm trying to say. I would say also get into the habit of carrying around a sketchbook. Sketch everything, everywhere. Another thing that new artists get intimidated by is that we get sketchbooks, right? Like a lot of artists, like me, for Christmas, we get gifted a fancy, like sketchbook. And we're like, oh, thank you, this is a great gift. And then we never touch it. We never touch it because it's like, oh, this is good paper. I don't want to ruin this. It's like, okay, first of all, it was a gift, so the money that's been paid, the money was paid for this fancy sketchbook because the person thought you were going to get use out of it. If you don't touch it, you're not really appreciating the gift. And second, you're just not going to learn if you don't touch the paper. Like, it's like, if, like with sketches don't have to be this like architecture blueprint, they don't have to be. When you see videos, CalArts sketchbooks accepted or rejected or whatever, like the way that those people got to there was just carrying their sketchbook around, carrying some pencils and pens and markers, and just drawing based on whatever inspired them, depending where they went. Okay, so something I recommend to people who are scared, right, of breaking in a new sketchbook. Open your first page, grab a Sharpie marker, drag it across the page. Just, I don't care, just drag it across the page. Because then that breaks to you, hey, I made a mark. I might as well start using the sketchbook. This mark isn't pretty, it's not, fancy, but it shows that I'm gonna have to start using the sketchbook. It's not pristine anymore. I also recommend, sketchbooks don't even have to be like planning out your characters or perfect anatomy or whatever. Like, you could also use your sketchbook for like swatching markers, colors. Could use it to test out new techniques, practice drawing. You should, okay, so your sketchbook, if you want, use it to do like some homework maybe that you get for drawing, like drawing circles, drawing, okay, hold on, my phone just closed. What the hell? Okay, I don't know why my phone just closed. Use it to, when you get homework on like drawing lines, drawing people, drawing stuff, yeah, that should be in the sketchbook, but you should also use it for your creative ideas. If you are on the train, right, or a bus, and you're like, oh my God, I have an idea for like this tiger who fights Martians, your sketchbook is there with you, hopefully, at all times, so that you can sketch that out. Next to your homework, next to fancy stuff, next to your scribbly swatches of new markers or something you got, And I think also the other thing to like realize when you approach, this is such a long answer to this question. I'm very passionate about art. Another thing to completely realize is that, like, look at everything through shapes. Don't concern yourself with details first. Just approach things by shapes. You know how you can do that thing with your eyes where like you can kind of like unfocus them, like make them kind of blurry, and it turns everything to shapes and colors. Think of it like that. You don't see details, you're seeing shapes and colors. And I think the last big thing I have to say about it is that people make a big thing about how, oh, how do I find my style? Right, that's like the big thing. That's like probably the biggest question everybody has when they're starting out. How do I find my style? You don't find the style. The style kind of finds you, if that makes any sense. Like, you're not gonna get, it's not like everybody's born with like a preset style, It's like when you get your style is accumulation of bits and pieces that you've seen and been inspired by from other works, and then you tweaking it to fit how you like it, A lot of people who they have like a very anime style. Oh, how did you get your style? by watching anime, obviously. Like, you know, it's not hard. You just pretty much it's a combination of practicing and, you know, basing it on what you see. I'm not saying like completely copy line by line Naruto or My Hero Academy or whatever, but look at those styles, look at what you like about it, and then adapt it into your own way. You know, oh, I like how the hair looks on Sailor Moon. Oh, but I like how the eyes, and like I like how this artist uses a brush pen, pen is not a word, a brush pen to get the body to look a certain way, like calligraphy or something. You could combine that together, and that's a style. I think I spent a lot of time on this question. This audio is about to be like an hour if I stay here answering this one question, so I'm gonna move on. But I do think that, you know, if you have questions about drawing, you know, feel free to reach out to me. You know, we could share some work. I would love to help people, you know, who are interested in drawing. I mean, I would hope so. I'm in school for art. I would hope I know what I'm talking about. Number six, what do you think of anti-vaxxers? Anti-vaxxers, not worth my time. Just gonna leave it at that. Seven, if you were a stripper, what would your stripper name be? And what would be your gimmick character? I don't think I would make a good one. I'm not tall, and I'm not the best with high heels. I also don't have the upper body strength and core strength and any muscles to be maneuvering around the pole. I would say, I've been told I have rhythm, so there's that. So when it comes to dancing, I have the rhythm. It's just sometimes when I'm in the rhythm doing a job or something, like I get stuck because then I'm like, oh, what move comes next? And you see me stop and it's not the best. Whereas if I'm like at a concert or something, I'm just like, yeah, go for it. Yeah, I'm listening to the music. I'm just doing whatever I feel. My stripper name. I don't think it would be something with lavender in it, just because it's very soft. And, well, I mean, I guess I'm a soft-looking person, but I would kind of want a completely different identity if I was a stripper. I guess I would be like some kind of cat thing, like a kitty, like wear like cat ears. And I'd be like a, I could be like a wildcat or something, 'cause like my hair is very curly and short, and there's like some blonde bits mixed into it. But like I'm Latina, so yeah. Oh wait, okay, that's about to be my new character. I'm about to draw. You inspired me. I'm about to draw up something like that and post it soon. What my stripper persona would be. I guess I would be like wildcat, and you know, my hair's a mess. I would wear like cat ears or something. My outfit could be like, I like fishnets. I like stripey stuff. Very skin tight things. My gimmick would be that I'm untamable. Okay, I already messed up. Untamable, right? Wild, very out there. Can't control me, right? I go on the stage, I do my thing, I don't need nobody, you know, throw money at me. So you can try to tame me, but you can't tame me. I'm untouchable. That's interesting. I'll probably draw something up like that. Number eight, do you watch stand-up comedy? Yes. If yes, who's your favorite comedian? Some comedians that are my favorites. Dave Chappelle, that's a classic. Okay, so Dave Chappelle's a classic. I used to watch Aziz Ansari. I don't know if he's done anything recently, but his old stuff was kind of funny. I like the segments where he makes fun of his cousin Harris. I like, there's a D.L. Hughley stand-up I liked, but you know, since then he's been really the whole thing with Terry Crews, yeah, that's gonna be a no for me. What's his name? George Carlin. It's also a classic. I liked his stand-ups. I liked Dimitri Martin back in the day. His recent stand-up I wasn't really a fan of, but his original one was pretty funny. Pretty sure there's like other, oh, I like Daniel Tosh is also a comedian I like. He's really fucking funny, and I like how his whole his like I think he's an example of how you can do edgy, provocative comedy like in a good way, because yeah, his comedy offense attacks everybody, you know, it's very not PC, very goes after it just goes after everybody, but he acknowledges like, yeah, these are just jokes, you know, a lot of people who get offended by certain aspects of his jokes are ignoring other things, like when he talks about when he was talking about the Make-A-Wish kid thing, that he works with Make-A-Wish, and how a lot of people get offended, but he's like, yeah, but nobody talks about the charity work that I do. He's like, I work with Make-A-Wish kids. These are kids that know that he does edgy humor, and they wanted to spend their last times with him. And he's like, yeah, and I don't hold back. It's like, because this is what they wanted. They wanted to see someone who's edgy. I don't hold back. People might disagree. Like, oh my God, they're dying. He's like, yeah, who cares? He was like, these, I think he said, like, these dying kids have some of the best sense of humors, and their parents, not so much. I think he's definitely up there. Also, not ashamed to admit that I laughed at his 9/11 joke. Wait, his 9/11 joke that he said, oh, he was like, can we admit finally the good things that Osama bin Laden has done for us? How about the fact that we automatically know 9 is September? Like, and then he's like, I use it for August, 9/11 minus 1, 8. I'm like, it sounds bad, but I do it. I do use 9/11 to count my months. 9. What type of erotic audios will you absolutely not listen to or make yourself? I think age play. Age play I'm not really into because it's uncomfortable, obviously, to role play as a child. And I'm not really interested in reading that either. I do remember reading somewhere. So there's a website, Kristen Archives, that has like probably some of the most messed up fan fictions I've ever seen, or just literotica in general, on Kristen Archives. And I remember reading one that was like, it was like some shit like this guy talking to his like toddler, like 5-year-old daughter, about how she's like just meant to be used by him, and using like really bad words to describe herself. I was just like, oh, this is horrible. Like, what the hell? I was open to the idea of doing race play audios before. I'm not anymore because it just crosses the. I think I don't like malicious race play audios, you know? Just not into it, because a lot of times the people that are into race play don't understand the race that they're targeting. One time on a Dirty Pen Pals, I was role playing with somebody. I tried role playing with someone who was like, oh, this story's gonna be a Spanish girl gang raped by white guys, right? And I'm like, okay, maybe I could get into that. And the person that I was writing with just seemed really disrespectful. I told them, hey, my character is Puerto Rican because, you know, I'm Puerto Rican. And he just completely was using like Mexican stereotypes, and I gave him the name I wanted to use, and he just ignored it. And the characters that he was role playing were just very disrespectful. I'm like, yeah, I'm not into this. This is very. I think he ended up ghosting me, but I'm like, yeah, this is just not for me. And I think the thing is that with race play things, you're fetishizing the race, but you're not getting it right. Like, you're not being accurate. You're just basing it off of stereotypes that you've heard and that you think that we're like, and we're not, you know? If I were to make it work, it would be something like, I think the only way that race play can work would be if it was from the point of view of the person you're trying to fetishize, right? Like, instead of having it be like, okay, I'm a white guy getting together with like a Spanish girl, have it be from the Spanish girl's point of view, because there's a lot of shit that goes on with like, nobody wants to admit it, but us minorities or people of color, pretty racist, honestly. I think everybody's racist to a certain extent, but There's definitely stereotypes against other cultures and races. I hate that Tumblr tries to paint us as like anybody who's not white needs to stick up for each other and be this whole big kumbaya, because we're not. It's not realistic at all. Like, Asians are very racist to other races. Hispanics are racist against other races. Black people are racist against other races. Like, we're just all racist. Like, there's no way to get us all to be this huge, like, oh, if you're not white, you're automatically a part of this group, and we're all friends. No, our cultures are way too different. As shitty as it sounds, like, how I was raised, like, on my dad's side, they were super racist towards black people. I like to think that I'm not, but there definitely do exist those prejudices on their side that, that's how I grew up. I feel like a lot of people who expect us to be this kumbaya and so, like, together and family are people that are very, like, privileged and never had to grow up in those kind of communities that actually got to see those different cultures interact with each other, Because I grew up in, and I guess I still live in, the ghetto, and there's white people are very scarce here. You're more likely to see black people, Spanish people, Asians, and we all are our own communities and groups. We do not really get along with each other. We only get along with each other when it has to do with something that's like anti-white. Like, if a white person says something that offends us, all of a sudden, then it has to become, oh, it's you against us, all of us. It's like, okay, yeah, but then when you're in school, where's that same energy? Like, you're all still against each other. Like, what the hell? We're not a family. Even within our own communities, there's still judgments. Like, in the Hispanic community, what generation you are, where you come from, if you speak Spanish or not. Those are things that divide us within our own community. Like, we're not. And not to me, I'm getting so off topic from the question. It's just, I guess my bottom line is that no, I'm not interested in race plays. I'm not interested in age plays. Bathroom stuff, like scat, vomit, pee, not interested in. I think that pretty much covers it. Also not into blackmailing type audios. 10, which country do you want to visit the most and why? It always changes. I think when I was a kid, I always wanted to go to Australia, and then it was Egypt, and then in my weeaboo phase, I wanted to go to Japan. But I think that ultimately I would love to still go to Egypt. Egypt is, I've always been interested in like Egyptian culture, and makes sense because I'm an artist, and when we learn about art history, we always talk about Egypt. I really like the culture. That I have an appreciation for the ancient Egyptian culture and the artwork. And when I go to my local museum, I always get stuck in the Egyptian exhibit. It's just so expansive. It's beautiful. I think it's great that people are recognizing that hieroglyphics are not that different from emojis. Like, they're really not that different. It's the same thing we've been doing for years. Pictures are just a great way to express yourself and get an idea across. I used to have a book from Barnes and Noble's called Egyptology. That it's like a series. It's like the title's like in really fancy script, and they put a fake jewel in the middle of the book, the cover, and then inside, they have things for you to touch and feel, that relates to what you're learning about. So I believe they had a strip of gauze or like cloth or something that they said this is similar to what mummies are wrapped in. In that same line of books, I believe there's one called Wizardology, and in that one it was like a feather that they said was from a phoenix or something. It obviously wasn't, but it was a really cool series of books, and I'm really upset that my uncle took it away because he was like a teacher's aide or like a custodian or something, and he borrowed it, he says, to give to the class for their Egypt lesson, and I never got it back. I'm really upset about it. But yeah, Egypt, I've always been fascinated about it, and whenever I got library time, I always liked taking out books about pyramids, I think in Egypt they read backwards, just like in Japan. It's right to left, but the words aren't written from top to bottom, they're written horizontally, but still, it's very cool. I would love to go. I mean, I know that it's not the best place to visit right now. I unfortunately, in high school, as part of a history assignment, read an article that said that the tourism industry in Egypt is drastically suffering because of all the because of terrorism and other incidents and issues going on over there in Egypt. Tourism from Western countries has gone down significantly, and a lot of those travel agencies are now abandoned and struggling. And the only tourism that they're getting now is people from the Middle East and people from areas that have like already been experiencing tragedies because they're not scared of what happens. And it really sucks. I guess, like, on my bucket list to go to the Pyramids of Giza. That's on my bucket list to definitely go there. I would really love to. And that's become kind of my big deal statement to. I have only said it to maybe one or two people ever, but if we are together and I really feel like I'm in love with you, I will tell you, let's go to Egypt. And that's how you know things are serious. Just a little. If anybody listening to this is like my future partner that I'm gonna get married to one day, that's how you know things are serious. You might as well put a ring on it if I tell you that. Bonus optional question. Does size matter to you? I would say girth and like thickness matters more, but like to a certain extent, size does matter. I'm not interested in micropenis. I would say, like average, as long as it's thick is fine for me, because length doesn't always mean better, because like pencil dick is a thing, what's the point of having a long dick if it's too skinny? But I wouldn't be fully satisfied with a short but super like beer can, I think it's a case by case thing. And I guess with that I'm done. Really hope that the person I'm living with does not listen into what I was saying, but it's possible. But yeah, I am done. It's been great. These questions were really good. I look forward to doing another Q&A, but yeah. Good night, everybody.